Steve, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's us. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Here to either entertain you or inform you or enlighten you. One of those things may happen at some point today.
That is a good elevator pitch for this show.
Yeah, we're going to try our best to hit one of the three. We don't have a full show today. As it turns out, the Northwestern Wildcats will be playing a basketball game
Go
in
Cats.
The middle of our show. This totally gets in the way of Steve's business lunch show.
Well, isn't he still going to do it? It's just
I would hope.
No one can
still,
hear
you're
it.
Still going to do the show, I hope, right?
We're going to do a dry run, and with any luck, we'll be able to do it, replay that run today,
mm-hmm.
tomorrow.
All right.
Well, not if with any luck, really, because if Northwestern wins today, then
they
we
continue
won't be on tomorrow. Either.
Right.
I have an idea. Why don't you do the Wintrust business lunch at 2? It'll be a late lunch today.
Do you want to do that?
Why don't you two? No.
That would work out perfectly for
That's
us.
That's more work, but for Steve, I see his point. It's a lot more work, so I get it.
An hour and 45 minutes off isn't enough for you?
Nothing
well, you know
anymore.
What? We're used to getting the show interrupted, so really it doesn't matter. Because,
yeah.
you know, originally we were supposed to do 3 minutes and then come back in an hour.
Right.
And then do 4 minutes.
Right.
And then off for 20.
Yeah. It's very confusing, but we'll get it done. It'll be a good show. Sandra Bernhardt will be joining us very, very soon, by the way, comedian and actress and singer.
She's
Sandra
everything.
Bernhardt. She does a lot of things.
Does she dance? That's my one question for her.
That's a good question to ask her.
I love her.
Yeah, she's very talented. I've never met her. Have you ever met her? We've had her on the phone, but never in the studio, so this will be fun.
I thought she was in the studio.
Mm-mm.
Huh.
No.
Maybe she will tie you up on the new chair you're sitting in.
Well, if that happens, I'm not going to fight it. Well, I want to be accommodating to all of our guests. If that's what she wants to do, that's fine.
I forget how great King of Comedy is.
Oh, yeah. So we'll talk to her about that and a lot of other things. Have you seen the controversy over... Now, this is a strange thing to have a controversy over, but it's the second year in a row we've had this happen. Remember how last year there was pictures on the internet of a dress and everybody who looked at the dress thought the dress was a different color?
White and gold.
You remember
this.
It
was not blue and black.
Right. So you remember,
everybody
right?
Everybody remembers.
It was all
that.
Over the place and people could be sitting right next to each other and look at the same picture and swear that it was either one color or the other color.
And we never got confirmation as to why it was other than like maybe your computer's... DPIs were different.
Well, the way it was explained, if I remember, is optometrists, people in the eye business, said that we all perceive color just a little bit differently. So even though we could be looking at the exact same dress, we would see it as a slightly different shade or a slightly different color. But those colors, like with the dress, were dramatically different. Well, now it's happened to Bernie Sanders last night. He was wearing a suit that they insist is a blue suit. And again, I apologize for this being controversial because there's a lot of other things going on in the world of politics, but I'm amazed at the play this is getting today. They insist, his people, Bernie Sanders' people, insist that this is a blue suit, but everybody or most everybody who saw it on television read it as a brown suit.
I see black.
Do you really see black? Is it a black suit to you from last night? Yeah. What, now, how would that be? Although, there's a vote on Huffington Post I saw this morning for people who, you can either vote, no, that's a blue suit, no, that's a brown suit. And then at the bottom, I thought as a gag, it said, it's a black suit, but you're seeing it as being black.
And now another picture, I'm seeing it as gray.
Wow, the same exact suit.
Yeah. I guess we all do see colors differently. It depends what it's paired up with, I guess.
Well, That's
Sorry
strange.
To throw a wrench into... Now it's become an even bigger debate.
Now it's even bigger. All right. Because I saw it a bunch last... I watched the debate last night, and then I saw it today. And I didn't even think about... Like, when I read the story after the debate, I'm like, I just watched the debate for 2 hours. I don't even remember what the color was. But then I saw pictures back to back to back, and I go, it looks a little more blue in that one, a little more brown in that one. I didn't see black or gray in any of them.
There are two pictures here, and one looks brown and one looks black, too.
Yeah. All right, now I do see black in that one, and
see?
The one on the left.
It's all about the lighting.
Yeah. Or could it be that there are some materials, could there be a material?
Chameleon material?
A chameleon-like material that just presents itself as different colors from time to time.
I don't know that we have, do we know what it is?
Wasn't there, you mean the material that he was used in the suit?
Not the material, but the color. Has that been settled? Are the staffers saying
his
what it
staff
was?
Demands that it's a blue suit, but nearly every picture looks makes it look like it's a brown suit.
I'm seeing black.
Hillary Clinton this morning is saying, really? I tried to score debate points last night, and everyone's right. looking at pictures of Bernie
right.
Sanders over and over
How can
and
that
over.
Be? I know. It's crazy. All right, we're going to take a quick break. It's a shortened version of the show. Comedian, actress, singer, possibly dancer Sandra Bernhardt will be joining us in a little while. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
You mentioned the controversy that is raging.
Yes.
About the color of Bernie Sanders' suit.
Most of America got no sleep at all. Everybody wants to know exactly what color the suit is. Some see it as brown, some see it as blue. You saw it as first black and then gray.
Yeah, I scratched the gray, but black is also mentioned, too, on this CBSNews.com. Before the night was over, Sanders' suit even had its own Twitter handle, Bernie's
sure, well,
suit.
Sure, of course. Why wouldn't it?
And the Sanders campaign's rapid response director, Mike Koska, tweeted about the issue last night, though it seems like he got the color wrong at first. Here's what Mike Koska tweeted. The suit Senator Sanders is wearing tonight is blue.
It is.
And then he came back a couple minutes later and said, the suit Senator Sanders is wearing tonight is black, with a little asterisk that says corrects the wrong color. So I win. What do I win? The suit?
Yeah, you just pick out anything you want from the prize wall, and it'll be sent to you.
I would just like Bernie Sanders' suit.
All right. That's fine. That's perfect. Wendy, you know who's here?
Yes.
Sandra Bernhardt is here, everybody. She's going to be performing at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts at 7:30. NorthShoreCenter.org has all your ticket information. How are you, Sandra? It's nice to meet you.
Great to meet you. Thank you for having me in on a gorgeous Chicago morning.
It's not bad.
We'll take this.
It's not raining. This beautiful historical building. I was reading all of the quotes from, interesting, political people talking about freedom of speech.
Yep.
And the color of Bernie Sanders' suit.
Didn't see that, thank God. Just reminding us all of the times we're living in and that we're always precariously close to losing our ability to have an open conversation.
Wouldn't that be the worst thing in the world if it ever came to that?
Yeah, it would be possibly the worst thing in the world.
It would be awful.
It would be a domino effect.
Mm-hmm.
We're perilously close to losing so many of our rights anyway, constantly. So, when you think about the people that are right in the mix right now, it's a little scary.
No, here's
very scary.
Wendy has said this before, and I'm in total agreement, but let's see what you think. Even though Donald Trump is an extremely polarizing figure, one thing he has done that's kind of on the good side is he's made people want to care a lot more about politics than normal. Do you think?
No, I mean, yes. If it brings in people who are, concerned about staying in America, like a lot of the Latino voters who are rushing to get their,
documents in order.
Yes. And also be able to vote. That's a good thing. But when it, stirs up the extreme right and the people that usually just sit back and carp and bitch about the state of things, and now they found somebody so they can be like, angry and dissatisfied are the two exit polls that, the people that vote for him the most.
Yeah. But here's what's happening at my house anyway. I've got two daughters that are 19, and normally, like when I was 19, I wasn't watching the debates. I cared, but not enough to watch the debates. They're with us on the couch every night watching the debates.
Oh, absolutely. My daughter, too, who's a senior in high school, but when I was growing up, they didn't have 20 debates. I don't remember.
No kidding.
I mean, this political season, it's like entertainment. It's like it's free entertainment for the networks, and it's ridiculous. Because
and just why is nobody it so
has
long?
Nobody has that much to talk about. Everybody has pretty much stands on their platform.
Right.
Hillary and Bernie on one side, the rest of them on the other, and it's like being pummeled.
Right.
With the things that we already know they stand for, and it's like, just move it on, condense it, consolidate it, make it in a 4 to 6 month period, get it done, get it dusted. I mean, it's exhausting. And everybody walks around depressed and concerned and worried about things they shouldn't. We should be able to just be free and enjoy the last year of Barack Obama.
Yeah.
Thank God we've had 8 years of a sentient human being in the White House.
Do you remember the show American Gladiators? the debates look like that. It's Nitro versus Fireblaze, and they're just throwing weapons at each other.
I wish it was that entertaining.
I think it's more like a high school election where you're just like, yeah. No, you're an idiot.
Yeah,
you don't
fat.
Agree.
You're
well,
ugly.
All,
you're
it's
stupid.
All, it's all yeah. It's all fueled up on you know what's left of their testosterone, which apparently is woefully low. Because anybody who's feeling good about themselves is not going to have these kind of conversations, I think.
Right. Wendy asked a question, and I don't know the answer to this.
I
were
can
talking
ask it.
About ask it.
Yeah,
ask
Wendy,
it.
Hello. Wendy.
You're like hogging her. I know
it's
you're excited.
It's the Wendy City.
You are, of course, an actress, a comedian, a singer, entertainer. Do you dance?
I don't dance.
Dancing's hard.
I mean, I like to dance recreationally, and I can move, but dancing has never been my forte, and I've never tried to pretend on that one.
Is that what's holding you back, Sandra, do you think? If only you could dance, would there be a limit to whatever you wanted to do, you could just do?
I think I'm doing okay.
Despite the lack of dance?
Despite the lack of choreographed you know, movement.
It's never too late to dance. We
no,
could set
I mean,
you up
I,
at Arthur Murray.
If I was in a play or in a show, I'm sure I would be... I could be choreographed. That's just not something that I incorporate in my live performing. By the way, I'll be at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts tonight with my show.
No dancing.
No, there will be no
the
dancing.
Burn Hard.
I love it.
7:30.
Where are you from? The Midwest,
Flint, Michigan.
Water problem.
I'm talking about it. Been talking about it. Hoping that the governor gets impeached. Hoping that somebody lets go of the money that needs to go to Flint to replace the infrastructure ASAP.
How are people still paying their water bills when they can't drink the water? That, to me, is preposterous.
Well, I think the water bills have oddly gone up since they've replugged back into the Detroit water system, which is just ironic because the pipes are destroyed and they're still leaching lead. So now it doesn't matter where the water's coming from. The Flint River was always notoriously corrosive, and how they thought that it was suddenly, you know, GM couldn't use the water and the people are supposed to drink it. It's outrageous.
Flint isn't the only city. We're finding out that around the country, there's plenty of cities that are having water problems, lead in the water.
Yes.
Awful.
Yeah. Well, it's what Hillary and Bernie both talk about, replacing the infrastructure. And what a perfect way of employing a lot of people in this country, the way Franklin Roosevelt did after, you know, the Great Depression, put people to work, you know, fixing the bridges, the roads, the tunnels, the water systems. We're living in the most, you know, prosperous country in the world, and yet there's these issues that don't get addressed while Donald Trump is displaying his stakes.
Yep. How about that?
How can that even be possible? Have you ever in your life imagined a president to be, maybe, God, I hope I'm speaking wrong.
I don't. I wouldn't worry too much about it.
But he goes on the Home Shopping Club to promote steaks and things. I mean, isn't that just bizarre?
He was selling his steaks at, oh my God, what's it called?
Costco?
No, it's where you get like all your high-end gadgets.
Sharper Image.
Yeah. When I am ordering a new radio, I throw in a couple of those Trump T-bones, would you?
That is ridiculous.
I mean, disgusting. And he had those that meat sitting out. Ugh! Jesus, it's outrageous.
Sandra, I'm getting mixed messages about your love of Donald Trump. It seems like you're a fan
Honey,
and then you're
New
not
York
a fan.
I live in New York City. Donald Trump is, you know, he's part of the social scene. You know, he's friends with all the people.
Right.
From Russell Simmons
to
supermodels.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy is playing, you know, the American, you know, dissatisfied customer for fools. He doesn't care.
It's true.
He's playing into it.
But there's
so
many.
He's got nothing to lose. He's a reality star now.
Right.
And P.S., by the way, I can pretty much assure you that the Trump Hotel here in Chicago was not built by Donald Trump. They lease his name. They pay him for that, and that's it. He's not a true entrepreneur or builder. Everything he's touched, from Trump University to Trump International Model Agency to all the rest of his endeavors, have all been under fire and tied up in lawsuits
and people can look that up and find out that information instead of just whatever he says they believe.
Oh, I know. I mean, it's outrageous.
It's like the internet.
Use your head. But people don't want to think and they don't want to read and they just want to go with their gut.
We got to shake things up.
Yeah.
All right, Sandra Bernhard is here. Feel the Bernhard today, tonight, at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts.
You can tell I don't feel anything.
At 7:30.
Not yet, but you will.
She's emotionless. There's no emotion, and there's no dancing.
Sandra Bernhard came into our show, and she was so healing. We had to pull it out of her. She brought her C game. Thanks for nothing,
Luckily,
Sandra.
She ended on that Swan Lake piece, which was beautiful. She danced her the night away. Go see her, please. You'll stick around for a little bit. We have a little bit more with you, right, I hope? Yeah.
Few minutes at the very least.
Excellent. More with Sandra Bernhard coming up right after the news. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder, along with our guest Sandra Bernhard, performing tonight at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts at 7:30. Go to northshorecenter.org. All your ticket information is there. There's only a few tickets available, so jump on that right now. Sandra, here's a quick question from your days.
Hurry up.
Yeah, anything get those last few hundred. Come to the show. Come see a great live performance. Stop watching the debates.
Laugh for a change instead of cringe.
Be entertained. Sit back.
Absolutely.
Be entertained by an actual performer as opposed to a clown.
Absolutely. let's go. I've always wondered this. With your Dave on David Letterman, always hysterical. Dave seemed to have people, yourself included, Terry Garr included, Fran Lebowitz included, that he just seemed to really, really enjoy. And then at some point, for some reason, you're not in the fold anymore.
Yeah.
What happens?
I
Why?
I don't have any idea. It's totally bizarre. It was the move from NBC to CBS. I think that, you know, he had a different mandate. I think that they wanted him to go more mainstream.
Yeah.
Because you saw a lot less of, you know, all of his, you know, Chris Elliott and,
yeah,
you know, all of the characters, yeah, you know, and the crazy, weird, off-the-wall stuff he did, and became much more watered down. And I think people like myself and Terry and, you know, and there were quite a few other people that he didn't have on anymore. But, yeah, it was very upsetting for me. I loved being on that show. For me, it was like one of the great. You just went on there and just went off and
yeah,
had the best time, and Dave was the perfect foil.
Yeah.
It was
and you could tell how much he loved you, you know?
I know, and then suddenly he just didn't anymore. I don't know if he didn't love me, but I guess he wanted a change.
Were you ever able to confront him and say, hey, what happened? We were very close.
No.
And it never happened.
No, never.
Would you, if you ran into him, would you ever say something?
No.
I know.
What's the point? And that's now, especially, he's not on the air anymore, you know? I mean, times just change.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes there's a narrow moment in time when things just connect, you know, with people and entertainment and the world, and sometimes you just got to move on.
Yeah, yeah.
It certainly was never my choice.
That's too bad, because that was always what I like to call money in the bank. If I'd see who the guests were and your name was on there, I'd go, well, this will be uncomfortable and fun.
I still like to look at the, thank God for YouTube, because people still watch the old,
yeah,
you know, fun shows.
Yeah. Talk about King of Comedy for just a little bit. I know you were an actress prior to the King of Comedy, but all of a sudden you look up and Robert De Niro is right over there.
Right.
Is that intimidating at all?
And Jerry Lewis, for God's sakes.
It was not intimidating to work with De Niro or Scorsese. It was a little bit daunting to work with Jerry Lewis.
Because why?
Well, because he's, you know, he's
like a weirdo.
He's a man of that era, like my father. He's, you know, he's sexist. He treats women and expects women to defer to him.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a postmodern, you know, gal. So it was like, yeah, kind of like, it was perfect for the relationship in the movie. And I think that he appreciated me as an actress and a performer, but I think he, you know, he dismisses a lot of people.
Yeah. Do you and then De Niro talk about that at all, about Jerry Lewis, or does that not even come up?
Yeah, I mean, everybody sort of like acknowledged the craziness of the experience, you know,
yeah,
without being too, you know, verbose about it. Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, you guys, it's Jerry. I mean, he keeps going on, like, it's like you can't believe this guy's still, like, you know, in the mix.
Can't believe the things you did to Jerry Lewis in that movie.
No, well, that's why it's so classic.
It is
timeless,
the best,
because it's what everybody dreams of doing to Jerry. Bound and gagged. Jerry Lewis. That's how. Is there a better way to experience Jerry?
Did that experience make you want to make more movies or less movies,
oh,
or what?
No, it definitely wanted me to experience more movies, and
yeah,
I've done other films, but you know, it's you know, careers are funny. You know, you take little circuitous routes around your life and your performing and your acting. And you know, I've always kind of dipped in and out, and I'm sure there's other great,
yeah,
roles that are just ready for me out there.
I remember seeing one of your concert films, so it's you, just it's just you.
I was Without You, I'm Nothing.
That was it.
Yeah. And that was a groundbreaking performance film that a lot of people have drawn from and emulated. It was a great experience because it was putting together this sort of like crazy narrative, you know, and against the performance pieces. It was something nobody had ever really done before.
And you're keeping it alive, Brooklyn 999. I have two teenage boys who love that show, and
it was a great show.
It was so great to explain to them because they're like, "Who's that? Oh my God, she was one of the funniest women in the world, still is." And where are you going to be tonight? In case people want to see you,
at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts.
That's it. Feel the Bernhard.
Feel the Bernhard tonight, 7:30.
There's a couple ways to get tickets. NorthShoreCenter.org if you want to do it that way. I don't have the phone number. Is the phone number readily accessible from anybody? 847-673-6300.
Or you can also go to SandraBernhard.com.
And you're having fun on your little satellite show?
Yeah, Sirius Radio, Sandyland, every day, I think 11 to 12 in Chicago, p.m. AM.
So fun to do what you want.
Yeah, it is. I'm working on a lot of other things simultaneously, but it's great to be back in Chicago. I love this city. I love the philosophy of the people. Everybody's very grounded in the Midwest traditions of being honest, but not too stupid.
We love you here in Chicago.
Thank you.
That's what our license plates say, by the way.
Go Northwestern.
Exactly. We should have Sandra throw it to it.
Okay, let's go to Northwestern's basketball game.
Look at that.
That's perfect.
Now.
You have a career as a sportscaster, Sandra. It's working.
SandraBernhard.com. Love you. Chicago
loves you.
Love you
guys.
Go
Northwestern. Thank you so much.
All right, Northwestern basketball is coming your way next. Stick around for that. Bill and Wendy, WGN. All right. Hi, everybody. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. Hi, Wendy. How are you?
I'm a little disappointed.
Well, with good reason. I mean, let's be honest. That was a great, very exciting basketball team between Northwestern and the team that was not Northwestern.
A game, not a team. Are you just distracted by the loud, booming voice coming from the producer's booth again?
I don't know what's causing
that. Who is not Bill Murdoch before?
I don't know what's causing that
noise. And it's not Bill Murdoch now?
It's still not. I don't know what's causing
it. How excited was Dave Emmett?
Dave called himself, as he always does, called a very, very exciting game. There's no better than Dave Emmett. There just isn't.
You know, you sucked me into the excitement of the good old Northwestern basketball game.
Why do you say that?
Well, it got pretty exciting towards the end.
Oh, the last minute was outrageous, and then the overtime was fantastic. It didn't end the way that we had all hoped. But congrats to Michigan. You played a fine game.
Everyone, apparently, but a couple of guys in stripes know what a travel looks like.
Yeah, there was that. There was that. But I don't know. I'm sure you were watching it, Steve. There was a weird out of bounds with a second left in the game that I've never seen in a basketball game of any kind before. When all a guy had to do was hold the ball, but instead he went out of bounds, gave Northwestern one final shot, but sadly it came up short.
It did come up exactly short, yes. Yeah. But it was exciting.
What
we
was
were
it?
Screaming up here like we were watching Rudy.
Yeah, that was going on in our office, too. And, Bill, I have never seen you get that animated about any sports game ever.
I get very emotional when I watch sports. I don't know what it is, but I engulf myself. I do.
It was like I was in a frat house all of a sudden. You and Kevin were, right. And any time I tried to say something about purses, you would go, shut up.
Right. It was like a frat house. Kevin brought a sheep in. I have no idea where he got the sheep.
The sheep was wearing a sweater and not its own sweater.
Right.
That's
we
what
get
was weird.
A purple sweater that Kevin's mom made for the sheep, and he was wearing that.
Polyester, I think.
It was polyester. There was a keg going, but we're not allowed to drink on the job, so it was cream
maybe
soda.
You're not.
Wendy, you somehow found a way around it. But yeah, it was an exciting.
You were out of control.
It was a game that warranted.
It was so much
wasn't
fun.
Wasn't it? Oh. I think, you know.
I've never seen you get that animated.
Oh, you should see me when the Blackhawks are in the playoffs. Terry has to make sure all the windows are closed because it sounds nuts. I'm just screaming and yelling and telling the guys on the screen because I'm under the impression that they can hear me, like I'm yelling to cover that guy and make sure that doesn't get through. And apparently they can't hear me.
Well, we yell so loudly that Tiki the dog starts howling as well because we get so excited and we high-five each other. But that's expected in our house. I've never seen you get that animated over a game you weren't playing yourself.
All right. Yeah, I get that.
But I guess
understand.
How many sporting events have I watched with you on TV ever?
Oh, yeah, that's true too, isn't it? Yeah.
Did we watch the OJ chase together?
No, I was out of town for that.
Oh, okay.
I was not in town for that, unfortunately. But come by when they do the, you know, the TV movie OJ chase. Well, I've already seen it, but I'll watch it again. I got nuts for that too.
I was in the studio with Danny Bonaducci when that thing was going
on. Really?
Working at the Loop radio station. It happened. It was a Friday night, wasn't it?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I think
was
it was
it
a Friday night.
Yeah.
And Danny was on the air at 7. I don't know if I must have been on after him.
Yeah.
And we were just sitting in there listening to Danny Bonaducci do a play-by-play. So quite honestly, I had the best time of anyone.
Well, it was during the NBA Finals, right? Because they had the
yes, it was
the little corner in the screen. You'd see the van.
Yes, it was.
I think San Antonio was playing.
Which is so ridiculous when you think about that now. Watching this movie, I'm forgetting how crazy the whole OJ thing
Every
was.
Every part of it was.
We at the station, and others did too, carried that whole preliminary hearing, which went on for, I think, a week or more.
Yeah.
So all day long, WGN Radio and others gave up their local, their regular programming to broadcast a court procedure.
Oh,
that's
man.
What started it all. Court TV came after that.
Right, right.
Thanks, OJ.
But I think the lesson that you teach all of us, Wendy, is if there's a major event happening, you want to watch it with a member of the Partridge family. I know that when the Princess Diana tragedy happened, I watched it with both Chris's, both of the Chris Partridges. And
that was much more somber.
It was a lot more somber, but they put it in great perspective.
You picked the right Partridge to watch Princess die with, because Danny wouldn't have been as somber and sweet.
No.
Thank God! What an OJ!
Right, right. And when the Queen Elizabeth II sank, I watched that with Reuben Kincaid. I'll never forget that. That was a nutty day.
Let's give the number now because David Hochberg is here and people are going to have questions. 312-981-7200. That's a sad loss for Northwestern basketball, but very exciting.
Oh, it was. It really was. All right, so here's the game plan, everybody. As Wendy pointed out, our pal David Hochberg stops by in a little bit. We'll talk movies after that. News is coming your way in just a minute, though. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy, and it's WGN.
He is an excitable boy.
They don't make him any more excitable than David Hochberg. David is here to help people.
I am here to help people and to educate people and to enable people to understand where they're at financially, where they're at emotionally, where they're at on their houses, on their finances, on their credit, and lend a hand to help them improve themselves and enhance themselves and pull them up and get themselves into a better position.
Very, very nice. Very nice. And I know I've already told you this once before, but Wendy and I did an informal poll of who should be the president of the United States, and you, sir, got a vote.
That's good.
So,
well, I appreciate that. Thanks for calling my mother.
You now have as many delegates as some of the candidates who are legitimately running.
Carly Fiorina.
Yes. Yes.
Fiorina, whatever the hell her name is.
Yes.
Fiorina.
Fiorina, so I'm sorry.
Can you change microphones? I'm sorry.
Sure. Where would you like
me to go? That is, just move over one. It's overmodulating, and it's driving me crazy.
How about now?
I think it's just your voice.
Okay.
No, that one's way better.
Okay, there you go. Thank you.
Thank you. That one is sounding very muddled.
Okay.
Sorry, but it is driving me nuts.
Well,
and we
you.
Know you have a song prepared for us, and we want it to sound as good as it possibly can, David.
Exactly.
All right, let's start out by talking about something you received, a mailer. What is this all about?
Well, one of my clients received a mailer, one of my doctors. I've done his loan for the past 12, 13 years, and he's like, hey, look what I got in the mail. What do you think of this deal? You know, jumbo loan at 3.25%. I go, I think it's fantastic.
I just got one yesterday.
Right. Okay. So think about mass marketing and mass mailers, right? You have to create the mail about a week ahead of time. It's got to go through machines and get folded into envelopes, get stamped, then mailed.
Right.
It takes about a week to 10 days for that stuff to be processed and mailed out. Problem is, the mortgage markets are based upon the bond markets.
Yeah.
Okay. And the bond markets trade and change every single day, sometimes a number of times a day. We're on an upward swing in rates right now over the past 3 days. So these letters were probably printed and mailed out or created 2 weeks ago and mailed out in the past week or so. And you're getting these letters saying, oh, hey, look how low rates are right now. Okay, that's like, you know, reading 3-week-old newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so.
But what if it's from your company that you have your mortgage with?
And
I know there are a lot of crazy ones that send it your way, like, hi, my name's Pete.
This is Big Blue, Okay. So this is a very, very big bank. And I told my doctor, call up Big Blue and see what they say. Okay. Because I'm sure they advertise on the station. The people on the upstairs aren't going to be too happy if I say the name, but you know, it's Big Blue.
Said enough.
Okay.
Shut
right.
up. You we know. Get you.
Okay. So, well, you keep asking the question. So they, so I said, call up
I didn't
and find,
ask anything.
Well, call up and ask him, right? There's no way, you know, he called up. No way in the heck is he getting that rate. And by the way, the closing costs are $7,000 to $8,000.
Oh, no.
See, that's where they're getting you.
Sure, they're getting you. You know, a gallon of gas out in the burbs today is $1.99. Okay, $1.99. You go to Lake County, it's a little cheaper. Cook County's a little more expensive. Downtown, they had another 40 cents. Okay, if you pull into a gas station in Lake County, the gas is $1.99. If there's a gas station across the street in Lake County charging you a dollar for the same gallon of gas, you're getting a half a tank of gas and a half a tank of water.
Oh.
Okay.
No, well, you're not. Think that's illegal.
Of course it's illegal, but how are they selling $2 a gallon gas for a dollar? They can't.
Because then volume, then more people go there, and then that causes the other guy to drop their rates. I think it's a bad comparison. Sorry, but I do.
Bill, do you think it's a good comparison? It's a great comparison. So here's the deal.
I'll
do Trump on you. You're wrong. No. Okay, so if somebody's selling gas for $2 a gallon, and everybody else is selling it for a dollar, they're not giving you a full gallon's worth of gas.
They're cutting it
somehow.
They're
cutting it somehow.
All right.
And it's the same thing with these rates.
But banks wouldn't cut it somehow, would they?
No.
Not with water.
Not at all. No. Billions of dollars a quarter in profits. Yeah, they're going to give away rates.
Right.
So there's a price to everything. Be very careful. And what you always read, especially in a flyer or a letter that's mailed out, that's created a week or two ahead of time and mailed out.
Not even handwritten.
Thank you. Right. Well, and the signature looks like an official signature that's a stamp.
Not handwritten.
Exactly.
Not hand signed.
Let the buyer beware. Is that what we want to say
to
people?
Just call Hochberg. That's what I did when I got that letter. I called you and said, what's the deal? And you told me it was not believable.
It's not believable. It's off of credit. It's off your income. It's off of how much you owe. It's loan to value. It's a type of property. There's a lot of variables that go into quoting a rate on a loan, not just like, oh, yeah, you know, you're going to get 3.25% on a $480,000 loan. Yeah. Okay, sure. And I said, Doc, I want to get into a pair of 32-inch pants, okay? But that ain't happening anytime soon either, okay? And not anybody else's other
More
than myself.
Water.
Or water.
That's right. Use the water from your analogy.
Exactly.
You'll feel better. You'll look better, too.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You look nice now, but you would look better. All right. So I guess what we need to know is sometimes things seem too good to be true, and they are too good to be true.
Absolutely.
Right?
So what did it do? It made the doctor call up the bank, and the bank's like, oh, I'm sorry, that letter, the market changes, and that rate's not available anymore.
Even though he just received it in the mail that day.
Just like the people that receive the mailers that say, you've been pre-approved for a credit card, and then they go to apply for the credit card and get turned
down. Can't get it.
It's the same deal.
Emails are coming, too, saying, you know, hey, Wendy, like, they
well,
know
sure.
me. And I've never heard of this mortgage company. We can drop your rates to 1%.
Yeah.
It wasn't that low. But lots of emails coming like that, too.
Of
so
course there are. They're buying
call
lists.
Hochberg. He'll
they're
straighten it out
lists,
for you.
And they're playing games. I heard an ad at another radio station said rates as low as 3.625%. So I'm like, oh, this sounds really nice, right?
Yeah.
So I call up and I'm like, yeah, you know, I'd like to get 3.625%. I gave him the most vanilla loan there was.
Yeah.
That I knew that I would get the lowest rate, 780 credit scores, low loan to value, escrowing the taxes. They're like, oh, sorry, sir. It's at 3.875 and the closing cost would be about $1,900. I'm like, I just heard an ad for 3.625 with no closing costs. Well, you know, the market changes and everything else. And I'm less like, so I gave the guy my email address.
Yeah.
Okay. And he didn't ask me what I did. I said, I'm in sales.
Yeah. Good.
And then he emails me like, hey, nice talking to you, Mr. Hochberg. You know, this is what we could still offer you. And I slammed him in an email back. I'm like, your ads are deceiving. You make me sick. And you're confusing the listeners, which further makes me sick. And people are calling you, which I'm sure you're busy, and you're doing bait and switch, and it's bad. Because I never do rates, quote rates in my ads, because I know that the moment that I tape that ad and record that ad, we don't tape anymore, we record them.
Right.
that the rates could change while I am recording that ad.
It's that fast.
It could be changing right now while I'm sitting here. It's based upon the bond market, okay? Mm-hmm. So, and I told him he was a piece of garbage, and I told him that his ads were deceiving, and I'm sure that he was busy. I complimented him on doing a very fine sales job on the phone with me, but his company was garbage and that they're deceiving people, and I'm sure your phones are ringing off the hook because everybody wants to get a 3.625% loan that they can't get. So, you know what? I know what you're doing. I've been doing this for 15, 16 years. I used to sell that product. I still sell that product. And what you're doing is deceiving. I think you're garbage. Have a nice day.
Oh.
Yeah.
What's your number if they don't want garbage?
312-751-1333. I'm not going to lie to people.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's 8 million people here in the Chicago metropolitan area. There's another 3 million people in the surrounding tri-state area. There's enough loans to do everybody to do instead of misleading consumers out there to have them call a hot box number. Call now. Rates are under 4%.
Right.
Right? No closing costs. 3.625. All these sucker ads that suck you in. And make you call, and then you know the rates today are higher than they were at this time last week because the market's been going up. The general consumer out there has no idea what interest rates are doing.
Right. Sure.
All right, we have to take a break. Someone has texted, my credit score is going up thanks to David. Way to go, great. Man. Thank you.
Fantastic.
And that's what you do. You offer advice, especially if someone cannot get a lower rate right now because of credit issues. Right. You explain what to do, and if people listen to you like myself, credit goes up.
Yeah, and you feel better.
You do. 312-981-7200. We'll come back with your calls. He's David Hochberg, and you can reach him at www.wgndavid.com.
Yes, that's the easiest way.
All right, Bill Left, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN.
David Hochberg likes to help people. He's like, you know what he's like when he's like one of the Avengers? It's Thor, it's Captain America, it's the Hulk, it's David Hochberg. They're just out to help people. People are calling in with questions, 312-981-7200.
And this is Tony. Hi, Tony. David Hochberg in the studio.
Hey, guys. Hey, David.
What's up, bud?
David, here's my problem. I've got a first mortgage, and I've got a second mortgage home equity line of credit that's about $104,000. Can I mention the bank that the home equity line is through?
Sure, if you like to.
Really? Do we want to?
Yeah, don't do
that.
Don't need
matter. To do it, Tony.
How much do you owe on the first loan, Tony?
Okay. I owe about 170 on the first.
And 104 on the second.
And 104 on the second. My home has appraised out for 250. I'm still $25,000 upside down.
Yes, you are.
This bank with this home equity line of credit, I've gone into their offices all over Chicago. I've called them numerous times.
Right.
They won't touch it. They just keep telling me to keep paying on this thing.
Right.
The kicker is in May of 2017, so about a year from now, the thing, I'm just paying whatever prime is. Right. It's going to adjust, and it's going to, like, quadruple my payment at which time.
Okay. Well,
David has some answers for you.
Yeah. Here, okay. Tony, it's not the bank's fault that your property value dropped. They gave you the money when your property value was high back in 06, 07, 08, before everything went to heck in a handbasket. So it's not the bank's fault that your property value is now lower than what the loan is. Okay, so let's not bash the bank. There's plenty of things to bash banks for, but that's not one of them. Okay. So what you have to do is instead of stop driving around and burning gas to running around to different banks that are going to tell you the same thing, is you got to address what you have. You have $274,000 worth of loans and a $250,000 home. Okay. So what's the rate of the first loan, Tony?
It's 4.37.
Okay. So here's what you need to do. You could combine both loans together, pay your loan down about $10,000, and you can combine both loans together and avoid a sledgehammer to your head when that HELOC expires next year. Okay? So do you have a 401k?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Can you borrow, not take money out, but borrow against a 401k?
I believe I could.
Okay. So let's,
people are scared to do that.
Well, here. He's scared to do it. He's got a HELOC, home equity line of credit, that's going to blow up on him in a couple of years. Okay, so he's got to pay his loan down by about $32,000, $30,000. Okay, to get down to, he's got to take his 274 down to 242.5. Okay, you said your house is worth 250, so you got to bring in a little more money. I apologize for confusing anybody out there. You're going to have to borrow about 32, 35 G's from your 401k if you don't have any money laying around, right? And you got to look at the overall monthly payment. And if you look at it really, 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 really hard, the loan you take out against your 401k to pay your mortgage down is probably going to be less than if you just sit there and don't do anything and wait for that thing to expire in a year and a half. Now, there are some people out there like you, Wendy, who are scared to take money out of the 401k.
Well, I'm scared now because I've done it.
Well, and there's through job loss and job, there are risks that you should check with your HR department and you should check with your CPA, but it's all hands on deck. If you've got money in a 401k and you could borrow it and you've got this HELOC blowing up and your payment's going to triple or quadruple, which is happening to thousands of your listeners every single day, you got to look to address the problem, put the fire out while it's in the basement before it gets to the roof. Okay.
Right. And that's what I've been trying to do. But as I say, this bank won't budge.
It's not their problem, Tony. It's not their problem that your home went down in value.
So who does he call right now?
He calls his 401k administrator in his HR department to find out how much he could borrow and how long he could borrow it for and what the payment's going to be. And then he calls me at 312-751-1333 and we'll calculate where you're at and what the total payment would be rolling everything together. And he should call a realtor in his area who sold him the house, that him or her is still in business, to get an accurate value of the house. This isn't the bank's problem, okay? The bank gave you the money. The bank's in big of trouble as you are, okay? They're upside down on your house, and they're just thankful you're sending them dough. So let's not fire on the bank right now. It's not the bank's fault. Look at getting access to liquidity, which is your 401k, so we can pay your loan down, recalibrate your debt to make sure that your payment's lower now than it will be in 2017 when that thing blows up on you, Tony, all right?
Right.
Good luck to you. And the number again for Tony to call you?
312-751-1333. Go to WGNDavid.com.
Good luck to you, Tony. I know, and David's not as mean as he sounds sometimes. He gets frustrated.
He's a teddy bear, a lovable teddy
bear.
No,
listen, here, you know, people want to blame everybody else for other things. It's not the bank's fault.
Right, it's property values.
It's property values.
Right.
Okay, the bank's saying, listen, we're not doing anything. We're at risk for 20, 30 grand.
Yeah.
You know, we're out $24,000 more than your house is worth.
Yeah.
You know, what are we going to do? What, do you want us to write that off? If we do that forever, we'll be out of business.
Yeah.
But David, when you're scared and you don't know where to turn, that's when you start saying you blame someone.
Sure.
And that's why you
I understand
call David and he will direct you as to who to call if he can't help you.
Right. And I'll talk you off the ledge and explain to you why you shouldn't direct your anger, and instead of being angry, let's try to solve the problem.
Amen, brother.
Can we get another quick call in?
Yeah,
we have time for another quick call.
Talk
to Joe if you wouldn't mind. I think this is a pretty good question. Joe, you're on the line with David Hochberg. Go ahead.
Hello, y'all. I'm just curious, and of course I freeze because I'm talking to you, but there's advertising to get my FICO score, and they say no responsibility, no credit card. Is that good, or I shouldn't do that?
Well, you could go to Credit Karma, which is run by TransUnion, which
That's
is a local
one.
Company here in Chicago. I'm friends with the COO, David Emery, and he tells me all the time, go to creditkarma.com. And you could get your free credit report there. Also, you could go to annual credit report. Be careful how you type that in the computer. You go to annualcreditreport.com and get a free copy of your credit report
there. I just did that.
As well. Okay, you'll have to pay $7 to get your credit scores, which are completely worthless, but you'll get your credit profile for free without paying to get your credit scores. So you could go to annual credit. Credit Karma is a reputable company. It is backed by TransUnion, which is a gigantic credit reporting agency based here in Chicago downtown.
Okay, I've got lots of questions, but that'll be next time.
Yeah, here, go to WGN David, Joe, and just shoot me an email or just call me, 312-751-1333. I'm hopping on a train to go back to the office, and I'll give you a call on the way back on the train. Okay, buddy?
Okay, thank you. I used to believe in banks. Now I believe in David Hochberg.
How about that?
Yeah, there you go.
Well, you still need a bank, but yeah, thanks, Joe.
Yeah,
this train is bound for glory. This train.
That's David Hochberg. Go on, Ryan.
No,
what
I was
were
just
going to say,
Credit Karma gives you the number.
Yeah.
The credit score, because I didn't get the credit score.
Yes.
I just got my report and found some discrepancies.
You could get your credit score on Credit Karma, and it's a reputable site that you don't have to worry about it. And if you sign up for their monitoring service, you could go on every single day and look what's going on with your credit, especially
really?
If you're looking buy a car, buy a house. Oh, yeah. It'll give you a pretty accurate classification of where your credit is, and you could see it go up and down as you pay things off and you charge things.
Yes. CreditKarma.com.
Yeah, it's
excellent.
A great site. And I don't make any money off of it. It's just a great site. Yeah, you could go there. It's a good site. It's reputable.
WGNDavid.com is the website. David's phone number is 312-751-1333. His new CD, Helocs and Bagels, drops on Tuesday. Yeah. Get it while they're hot.
Yeah, please.
Thank you, David. I'm
hoping to hit platinum this time.
You will. I know you will. Take care. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill Luff and it's Wendy Snyder. Our friend Patrick McDonald joins us right now to talk about movies. Patrick is the film critic for HollywoodChicago.com. He's also the guy running FilmAutonomy.com. He's the chief guide for Chicago Film Tour. Which
what isn't he? That would be quicker.
It would be easier to say just what you aren't. What aren't you, Patrick?
What am I not? I am not fully vested.
All right, that's fair. That's fair. These film tours that you do, the Chicago Film Tours,
yes.
They start out in May, don't they? The first week in May?
Actually, the first week in April,
sir. Oh, that's soon?
Yes.
I didn't know.
April 2nd, 2016. Join us on the tour. 312-593-4455.
For people who don't know, it's where some of your favorite movies have been shot and set here in the city. And everyone I know who has been on the tour loves it. So
this is the
take
year.
The tour. Yeah. You're going to do it finally?
I've been dying to.
All right.
All right. There's a lot to talk about from the world of films. Number one, this is an interesting story. There's a chance now that we, the movie viewers, will have the opportunity to pay $50 to, instead of going to a movie theater and watching it the traditional way when a film opens up, for $50, they will somehow magically show the film at our house. They will beam it to our television sets at home for $50. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
$50 a year?
No, $50 per film. $50 a movie.
Who's going to do that?
Well, think
very
about it.
Rich
if,
people.
If you have a family of four going to a movie theater, it's going to cost you
good
around
point.
That.
But it's a movie theater.
I know. That's the trade-off.
Well, the first thing that pops up to me is how are they going to prevent somebody from setting up a video camera and pirating
making
the film?
Yeah.
That's what I don't understand.
Yeah.
Are they willing to take that risk? Because I could see a shop just set up where they come in for the new releases, and the next day the DVD's on the street or on a website. So
I have a question.
Wendy has a question, Patrick.
Okay, go ahead.
We just saw The Martian this weekend, past weekend, actually. And I know it's been out for a while, but I was okay to wait to see it. And I think it was $350 at Amazon Video.
There you go.
So why in the world would you pay $50, I guess, like on opening weekend or something, maybe?
Yeah, it would always be the same day that the film is released into theaters. That would be your chance to see it at home.
Yes, and the model is that the distributors and the studios would get a cut. And but the scenario they give in this article is that, you know, five people get together and pay $10 each after you get the $150 set box.
And where do you watch it? On the person who has the biggest screen?
Yeah. Yeah, right?
I got a 70-incher. Give me the $50.
All right. That seems fair.
I think Donald Trump has a pretty big screen, is what
I heard. Wants to watch a movie with him, whether you like him or not? Really? He would talk through the whole thing.
Get that character out of here. I don't want that character in the movie. Get him out of here.
See that guy? That guy
loves
me. I could
do that much better. I should be in that movie.
So the like trade-off is you don't have to go to the movie theater. You don't have to leave your home. That's good news. But the spectacle of seeing it, see, I'm saddened by the fact that so many people are now watching movies on their telephone or a small screen, because really they're made to be events. You want to see it on the biggest screen possible.
Yes. And, you know, so many people put so much time into making a movie look spectacular on a big screen, only to have it reduced to iPhone viewing on an airplane. I'm going to the theater aficionado, but so many people tell me now that they just cannot stand sitting in a theater.
Theater ass. It's happening all over.
The bigger problem is people talking and texting and barbecuing during the movie. A friend of mine was telling me he saw Mad Max, and he watched it on his phone. And I was making fun of him for watching it on his phone. And then we were talking about the movie, and I said, how about that, the scene with the wheel, where the people were in the giant wheel, and they were making the water come down with the wheel. And he goes, what wheel? What people in the wheel? And then I told him another scene, and he goes, oh, I don't even remember that. Because when you watch it on something so small, the detail's lost.
Yes. Yeah. And Mad Max is made for the big screen, essentially. So maybe you can see My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2 on a small screen. But
since you brought that up,
yes,
is the if you watch the trailers for it, they
it
tell
looks
you
so good. I didn't see the first one, so that's really stupid of me.
You should see the first one, because the first one, I like the
first one. It's really good.
Yeah.
The first one's good.
All right.
It is. But the anticipation that they talk about in the trailer, that people have been waiting and begging for this movie, is that true?
I don't think
so. You're not sure?
No.
Yeah. I want to believe it.
An innocence to it, you know. That it was a feisty little independent film that got an audience because Nia Vardalos went to every small town and really hawked it. And we don't live in that era anymore. And she does as much as she can to still look 25. So,
well, she looks great, and her story of selling the idea. You know, she went, Nia Vardalos was an actress here in Chicago at Second City, and she had this idea for a play, and she did the play, and then Rita Wilson and Tom Hanks saw it, and she convinced them to turn it into a movie, and they made a crazy amount of money.
Yeah, the great story about that, of course, is Rita Wilson saw the one-woman show called My Big Fat Greek Wedding, and went backstage and said, boy, this would make a great movie, and she pulled the screenplay out and gave it to her.
Wow.
It's true.
How about that?
She was ready.
Wow.
She was ready, and that's really the good karma of that whole thing.
But how strange is this? Even after it was the surprise hit of the year, because it was made on a very shoestring budget, independent film, and it did really, really, really well, made a lot of money. So then immediately they turned it into a TV show that just fizzled so quickly.
It's one of the great failures of TV history.
Yeah.
And the onset clashes between Andrea Martin and Nia Vardalos, and then I see Andrea Martin's in the movie.
Again, so playing the aunt,
they must have.
I love her. That's kind of why I wanted to see it.
You should see the first one.
You should see.
You'll love her in that one.
You will really like it. Its use of Windex is better than any other film in history.
I love Windex. Nice, I can't wait now.
Oh, you'll love the Windex scenes.
You and your rocker son can watch it together. It would be beautiful.
Do it. There are phone calls lining up for you, Patrick. Are you accepting phone calls?
I'm accepting all phone calls except my account.
Creditors, no creditors.
All right, Tom, you are not Patrick's creditor, are you?
No.
Hello.
All right, good.
All right, go.
Then do you have a question?
Yes. In The Fugitive with Harrison Ford.
Yes.
On the parade scene.
Mm-hmm.
Roland Burris is shot in the film in the St. Patrick's Day parade scene. It's got a clear, vivid image of him. He stands right in front of the movie. How did he get himself into that?
Well, he was probably hired as an extra or to give that gravitas of Chicago politician. And one of the payments was getting a good shot. I don't know. I usually.
But if it was an accident, he was found caught in the footage, they'd have to clear that with him, right?
I would imagine.
Yeah. I think it was an idea of, you know, that was a big film coming to town.
He never shied away from a camera. If he saw a camera, he would not be embarrassed. He'd be right in front of it.
Who wouldn't want to be in a big Hollywood movie? So.
Right.
Well, thanks for pointing out an Easter egg. I love when that happens.
Thanks, Tom.
I like that.
I'm trying to remember in The Fugitive, they used a lot of Chicago news people essentially playing themselves, didn't they? Didn't Amy Jacobson and Jay Levine and a bunch of others?
Well, they tend to do that whenever they have a film. As I recall, the Ed Norton film, and I can't think of the title.
Fight Club?
No, not Fight Club. It was set in Chicago.
The one with Richard Gere.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. Primal Fear.
They I'm proud of myself. Come on.
Really
I got one
nice.
Word.
Right.
Nicely done.
And they did use local Chicago news people to give it, again, a realistic tone.
Yeah.
And they're actors anyway, aren't they?
Yeah. It's a nice thing. Yes, they are, Patrick. All right. Patrick McDonald is here, film critic for HollywoodChicago.com.
Network news
Come
shows
on.
Anymore.
You don't know that to be true.
All right.
We'll talk more about movies. And if you have a question or a comment for us, or Patrick, 312-981-7200 is the way to do it. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
We're talking movies with one of my favorite guests. He's Patrick McDonald. And how do we find your reviews?
HollywoodChicago.com, FilmAutonomy.com. I just reviewed I Smile Back, the Sarah Silverman drama just released on DVD.
She's, for a comedian, she's done a couple of these very serious roles of late. And people, myself included, think she's a pretty good actress.
I was blown away.
Yeah.
I have to say.
She's got some range.
A real tough role, too. about a mental breakdown, diary, mad housewife sort of thing.
Yeah. It is the spring holiday season, Patrick.
Yes, it is.
And you've noticed this, I'm sure. The spring holiday movies, your Easter and Passover movies, are not quite as chipper as your Christmas films tend to be. Did you notice that? Is that fair?
It's fair to say.
Yeah. Give us a few classics if people want to get in the mood, somber mood. What should they be renting and seeing?
My favorite, and maybe it's the era I'm from, but Jesus Christ Superstar.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
It's my favorite Easter film.
I love that more than anything.
There you
I
are.
I know every song.
Yeah.
Yes. I really love that.
Yes, and it was done in a time, again, no showy special effects or just a basic rendering of that great rock opera. And several of the original rock opera singers are in the movie, such as Mary Magdalene and...
Yvonne Elliman.
Yes, Yvonne Elliman. Yeah. Thank you very much. And
Ted Neely.
Yes, who we had in the studio.
He was up...
Ted Neely was awesome.
A year and a half ago.
Just an awesome
I made
guy.
Him laugh because I said... Because he's still playing the role of Jesus,
yes,
even
he
though
is.
He's 68 years old. And I said, because of Jesus' advanced age, the Last Supper is now held at 3 o'clock. And he enjoyed that very much.
He was really nice.
He was great.
It was an honor to see them because really I had that LP and I played that double album like nonstop. I should be in a production of it. I could play every role.
It was Andrew Lloyd Webber, right? Wasn't that who did the music for?
Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice.
Right.
And Ian Gilliam of Deep Purple played Jesus.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And
Ted Neely did, you know, he became the other, he did it on Broadway and took over the role.
Right. All right, so that's a good one. If you're looking for holiday films, Jesus Christ Superstar is good. I guess you'd have to include the Ten Commandments. It's on every year. And
yes.
It's so funny. There's something about that movie. I know every frame of it, and yet when it's on, I can't help but watch it on television.
And also, you know, one of the things about the spring movies, the Easter movies, the Passover movies, if you will, it's almost, and this might be going away, of course, but it was almost a tradition to sit around and watch these movies as they came on, because they always sort of were close to Easter weekend, like the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, maybe in the age of video that has changed, but there is a sort of a homey feeling about those films.
There is, isn't there?
And I think that's why you gravitate to them again.
There was something about, at the time, the special effects, because they were groundbreaking by today's standards.
Right.
They're so simplistic and almost laughable in scenes. But back then, when this movie was made, when the Ten Commandments was made, that was state of the art.
Sure, and that was a big screen epic. And when the parting of the Red Sea occurred, there it was.
Yep. It's because of that movie, Patrick. Wendy will tell you, this time of year, I always use the phrase, so let it be written, so let it be done. I like to say that a lot, thanks to that movie.
I love when you do it.
Yeah, it's fun.
I know
it's
summer's fun. Coming when I start hearing that.
Yep, I will say that a lot. And look for a young Lily Munster in the Ten Commandments.
Oh,
Yvonne DiCarlo
very good.
Shows up in a scene or two.
Well, you know, of course, the Billy Crystal bit about Edward G. Robbins.
Yeah, see, it's the Ten Commandments.
Messiah now?
Right.
Oh, that's right.
Well, he was so synonymous with gangster movies for so long, and then all of a sudden, Edward G. Robinson's in Ten Commandments. And he's semi-believable, you know, but...
Well, Michael Stuhlbarge played him in Trumbull, Edward G. Robinson, as sort of a rat.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
Stuhlbarge?
Yeah, Stuhlbarge.
They're making names way crazier than when we were growing up.
That's true.
Stuhlbarge.
And then one more, I guess, if we're going to talk about these movies, that would have to be Ben-Hur.
Oh, yes. I always go back to the SCTV satire of that, too. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that? Where Jesus would make a martini?
I totally remember that.
Right. They took some liberties with the original script, but that's fine.
But no, Ben-Hur, yes, an epic. The silent version of Ben-Hur is really good, too, if you ever run across it on Turner Classics.
Yep.
That really is... It's
silent?
It's
I'm sorry, subtitles?
I have to read those codes.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was just silent with no subtitles. It's like, how could you figure out what's going on? How long is it? I'm not watching it.
There you go.
I still remember Red Buttons on a dais once saying, I just saw Ben-Hur and his sister Ben-Him and their younger brother Ben-Gay. Had a huge laugh. Catherine is on the line. She would like to talk Ten Commandments with us.
All right.
Catherine, hi. How are you?
Hi. great. I just want to tell you that my children, who are all grown up now, we watch the Ten Commandments every year. And one of the things we do is it's a drinking game. every time they say Moses, you watch how many times Moses
hundreds
the bottle. It's hysterical.
That's perfect. Anyway, I imagine really everyone's funny. A little bit ripped by the end of the night, aren't they, Catherine?
Of course, yep. Of course.
Yep. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you.
Thanks so much. Awesome. Now, here, this is curious. Yes. Maybe you can explain to me. This weekend, the Brothers Grimsby opens up. This yes. is Sacha Baron Cohen's mm-hmm. new movie. Mm-hmm. Looks hysterical. However, the producers decided to not screen it for critics. Can that be true?
That is true.
Does that mean it's not good?
We don't know. We have to
does
go and pay our
mean?
Dime and see it ourselves.
It usually
but
is
usually
an indicator.
It does, it usually is an indicator that the film is not... they don't want the bad word of mouth the first weekend.
Yeah.
They hopefully that Sacha Baron Cohen can bring him in.
I
they
love
get that
him.
Good
Me
opening
too.
Weekend.
Yeah.
And if the movie's bad, it'll tail off. And
but his films have been, for the most part, praised by critics. Most critics seem to like his work.
Right. And he has a certain cult status, too, that no matter what he does, people are interested in seeing it. So that's why I don't, you know, critics are used as sort of a buffer between the audience and the anticipation. And if it gets good reviews, then they're going to, you know, people are going to crowd to the theaters.
Now, do you know the story
my reviews?
What? There's true. Do you know the story? There's a joke in the movie.
Yes.
Concerning Donald Trump that I guess is a very unpleasant joke. And that joke has gotten mixed reviews. There's people who think that's one of the funniest things in the movie. There's people that are very upset that they would throw that into a movie.
Is that maybe why it's
I'm
not
huge.
Being screened? Because it's a crucial
wonder,
time now?
I wonder if that could possibly have anything to do with it.
I didn't hear that. What?
I said, I'm wondering if that's maybe why it's not being screened, because it's a volatile time right now. And if there's a...
Possibly.
Maybe.
A candidate who could be our next president being made fun of.
Maybe. Well, the studio was talking, as of a week ago, they were talking about pulling that scene or that joke because the audience was so polarized on it. But it's a wow. movie. Take a chance, right?
Interesting.
All right.
What was the one with the Korean guy in it that I loved with Seth Rogen?
Oh.
The interview?
The interview. Yes, yeah.
Remember we were going to, people wanted
gonna be
Sony
war.
To buckle down and not show it.
Right.
I liked that movie.
Did you see it on Netflix or online? Or
I streamed it or found it. We ordered it like that weekend. And just everybody complaining about it made me want to see it, and I enjoyed it.
Sometimes that kind of publicity is better for a movie.
Yep.
Right?
With the subject matter of that one, absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
That's Patrick McDonald, film critic for HollywoodChicago.com and FilmAutonomy.com. Don't forget, the guide. He is the guide for Chicago Film Tour also, 312-593-4455 if you're interested. Thank you, Patrick.
Yes.
Patrick has confirmed it, and so
I guess this weekend nothing's coming out.
Nothing is coming out, according to Patrick.
Well, we're out of time, so
we're out of time.
We'll talk to Ro and Anna next.
And Ro's mean, so we can't run late.
We can't go late. All right, take care. Bye.